Welcome to our time of worship together here at Countryside Community Church. My name is Jim Hollister, and it is an honor to serve Jesus Christ with you as the pastor here at Countryside. We're glad that you have decided to take time apart to pause in the midst of all of your responsibilities and plans and to worship Jesus Christ with us.
Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 16 through 20, from the New Revised Standard Version. The Commissioning of the Disciples. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always, to the end of the age." This is the word of God, for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
So we have a special opportunity today. I am particularly excited about this tradition that we have here at Countryside to set aside some worship to give space for folks to share their story about their faith journey, about their experiences with God in Jesus Christ. And so we got to take a time out from our ongoing series in worship to make space for this really important thing that we do. And so we will be blessed today by Ron Jackson, who will share with us his faith journey as we celebrate our ongoing series, My Story. Ron, thank you.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Ron Jackson, and it's a pleasure to be in worship with you this morning. As you know, Pastor Jim has been doing a series the last couple of weeks, and will continue in the next couple of weeks on a series called Half Truths. But today, however, we are fulfilling a Countryside tradition and offering someone in our church to do what is known as My Story, and I was encouraged to do that. So, before we launch into my faith journey, please join me in a brief prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. All right, my faith journey. I come from a small town in southeastern Pennsylvania known as Orland. It's a suburb near Willow Grove, Glenside. Maybe some of you are familiar with that town and that area. I come from a family of six. There was my mother, there was my stepfather, my brother, my sister, and a stepbrother. We attended Christ Lutheran Church in those early years. It was close by. We could walk to it. We did Sunday school. We did church. They had VBS every summer. It was a rather typical Christian upbringing. And all around us in that suburban neighborhood were neighbors who also attended church. We had Boy Scout troop meetings at that church, and it was there that I had my first opportunity to be in the Boy Scout troop band and had an opportunity to play the clarinet in those early years. So that was up to age 11. Age 11, it was 1956. And I left Orland to live with my father and my stepmother and my stepsister in northeastern Pennsylvania, a little town called Lakeville. Lakeville Methodist was our focus. There was Sunday school, there was church service, of course, and there was choir. Some of the people that were pastoring the church at that time, Reverend Pearl Osterhout, George Young, Reverend Ben Holman, Reverend Ed Simmons. We did MYF weekly. We were active in a thing called the Pocono Subdistrict Harvest Festival each fall, at which point we, as youth, went out and collected non-perishable goods to hand to people who were more in need of them. So that was the way it was at Lakeville Methodist. Also, during those years, there was a thing called the Scranton District Youth Choir, which had a service or a concert each year. I'm not sure what time of year it was anymore, but we did one in Carbondale, and then we did one in Scranton as well, Scranton Elm Park United Methodist Church. I was active in that, and I enjoyed it very much. I even had an opportunity to do a solo, and so that was part of my early music education. My father was very much involved in music as well. He was a trained baritone, and he and I would sometimes do duets in church as special music. My stepmother was the pianist, so that was a great combination. In eighth and ninth grade, the summers after them, that is to say, we went to Sky Lake, and we all had a great time doing that. I remember very well that the leader of the camp was Reverend Bert Sweet, and we had a great time there as well, my sister and I. And they had what is called a Galilean service, and that was a lot of fun. We got in a boat, and we went out to a dock out in the middle of the lake, and then very slowly came in to where all the campers were waiting. We were singing in the process. That was the Galilean service, and I was ennobled to be part of that because they asked me to sing along with it, and that was fun. But my father was a great influence in my religious development. He and my stepmother regularly attended church. He was often engaged in using his carpentry skills to make something for the church, for example, shelves where they would put pies, which they would use at the occasional dinners at the church. The point of all this, in saying this, is that it was a very rural area. It was 10 miles from Hawley High School, and the church became our main focus outside of school. That brings me to age 17. At age 17, I went off to college, Susquehanna University, 1963, down in Sealands Grove, Pennsylvania. It was my freshman year, and as freshmen very often like to do, they like to spread their wings and do something different. And so we did that. We went from one church to another, the local Catholic church, the Lutheran church, the Methodist church. I settled into going to the Methodist church and sang in the choir, but I didn't have much else to do with the church because I simply had college studies. They were more important. They took more of my time. Also in that year, I played bass clarinet in a clarinet quartet. And that was a lot of fun, too, because we traveled to nearby churches to do special music on Sunday mornings, after which, and this was a nice aspect of it, we were very often invited to go to dinner with the preacher. And we did this, and we did performances at local high schools as well. As a matter of fact, we did one performance at Bellefonte High School one afternoon to all the students, and that was a real great experience, I thought. I was the youngest in that clarinet quartet. The others moved on in a year or two. Age 22, 1967, I was graduated from college and got a job teaching German in the Scranton School District. I lived in Scranton, and because Elm Park United Methodist Church was so close, I attended Elm Park United Methodist Church, became a member, and many will remember that the merger of the Methodist and the EUB happened in 1968. So after that, it was called the United Methodist Church. I sang in the choir, I taught Sunday school, and we did a great winter adult retreat at Sky Lake. And that was a lot of fun as well. The pastor at that time in those years was a Reverend Jim Geiser, and many people may remember that name. He had a son, Jim, who was a West Point graduate who went to Vietnam. And it was right around that time that his son was killed in Vietnam. And I'll never forget that situation because the word got around midweek when it happened. And I remember thinking as we came to the choir on that Sunday that Pastor Jim's not going to be there. He couldn't possibly be there. He just lost his son. But surprisingly, he was. And he was very well composed given the circumstances of that previous week. Jim Geiser, good man. Age 26, 1972, Elaine and I got married. And we had a piece of land up here in Falls, and that's where we brought our mobile home, and we settled here. That's where we currently live. It's the same lot. We built a house later in the 1970s, over 2 years, and the person who helped me a great deal to build that house, in fact, he was the brains behind the entire project, was Jim Davis, who was Bruce Davis's twin brother. At that time, when we first got here, we attended Falls United Methodist Church. The Reverend Ed Simmons was the pastor at that time. And he was followed by Chuck Noggle, then Bob Wood, and Dan Heron, and finally Dick Wenzel over the 19 years that we were at the Falls United Methodist Church. We had three children. They grew up in this church. We did Christmas programs, Easter programs, of course, Sunday school. And my children during that time began to attend Sky Lake, and they loved it a great deal. And that carried on with them, especially with my youngest, Kim, for many years after that. She still comes back from Seattle, where she currently lives, and goes to Sky Lake in the summertime. It was also during that time that there was a youth choir started for about 5 years, 1985, I believe it was, till 1990. We had a great youth choir, and what happened was that they would come to my house on a Thursday evening because I had all the stuff, the guitar, a keyboard, and so they all came over to my house on a Thursday night, and for about an hour we had a rehearsal and came up with tunes that we would do in church the following Sunday. That was another great experience for me. It was also during this time at Falls UMC, during those 19 years, that every year there was an annual conference, as we well know, and it was down at Elm Park. And what happened was that when the conference was over, there was always an oral report given about what was happening at conference or what had happened. And that was given by Margaret Watkins. She was a member of the Lake Winola United Methodist Church, the other church on that charge. And surprisingly, there was no member of the Falls United Methodist Church who ever gave that report. Nobody seemed to ever want to go to conference. And I got curious about that. So I began to attend. It was right at the end of the school year, and I was able to go from where I was teaching over to Elm Park Church and just to see what was going on. And it was right around that time, I think there was a change in my life. I started to get somewhat restless about what was going on in churches, because I found out that other churches were doing a lot more than we were. That brings us to 1991, age 46 I am. We left the Falls UMC and started attending Bethel UMC. Pastor Craig Mark was the pastor then, followed later by Marty Beauvais, and then Susan Davis. It was during those years that I became aware that one of the members was Keith Eckel. And I attended the annual conference at Elm Park Church and met people that are much more part of my life now too, Jeff Warren and Alfredo Chavez. In fact, we used to have lunch together during conference. There was also the Cut Co-op, as we called it in those days. It was a group of all five churches, which later were invited to join the merger. And as you well know, only four of the churches joined. I met Ron Imdorf at the Cut Co-op, Kelly Cardone, and Selma Gardner. Sang the Christmas cantatas, became lay leader. There was talk of a five-church merger in the year 2000, and stayed there until about February. Well, I guess it was a little later than that. There was a very serious incident that happened to me in February of 2000 at that church, and so it led to my departure from Bethel the following summer. Age 55, the year 2000, we began attending West Falls Baptist Church under Pastor Tom Harmon, who is still the pastor there. It's the only church in Exeter Township. During those years, and it was about 8 years we were there, I began directing the Easter and the Christmas cantatas. I witnessed full immersion baptisms in my backyard pool. And during that time, the pastor was nudging me to become a member. And I resisted. I didn't want to join. Why would that be? The main reason was that I never had any idea as to what was being planned in the church, because you had to be a member to go to whatever kind of a meeting they would have as far as a strategy session was concerned. And I was never allowed to go. Because the pastor said, membership bespeaks commitment. So we attended regularly, we were involved, we supported the church, but we never joined that church. Age 63, year 2009. It was summertime. I had a habit. I was an avid bicycle rider back in those days. Even up to that age, I was. And I would pedal very often a 12-mile loop from my house in Falls up to Mill City, down 307 to Schultzville. And I would stop at Bethel UMC. And it was there that I would sit on the steps, drink some water to cool off and refresh a little bit. And I happened to get a hold of a paper, which was inside the vestibule area there. And I looked at it, and it talked about possible merger. And I thought, well, now this is interesting. This is something which I was not aware of, that they were trying to get this merger going. And as I looked at that, I thought, well, this is great. I understand it's been tried before. It was tried back around the turn of the century, and it was tried, from what people told me, about maybe 20 or 30 years before that as well. So here we are the third time around, and they have finally decided or been able to get a merger going. And I was pretty excited about that. Well, I kept reading those papers as I would stop by there for my little refresher on the bicycle ride. And then not too long thereafter in that summer, I saw an article in the paper, 2009 again. It had Keith Eccles' picture on it. And it was an interview about Keith Eccles. And he talked about how, yes, the merger has come off. We have gotten it going. And now the reason for it is because the other churches, or all the churches of the merger, were having difficulties as far as attendance, and they were just kind of like dropping off. And as a consequence, I thought, wow, this is really happening. So again, the summer of 2009, I talked to my wife Elaine about that, and I said, you know, I think maybe we just kind of ought to slip over there and see what's going on. So we did. One Sunday, we popped in over there, and wow. What an experience. I walked in, people that I'd known before from the cooperative parish came up to me, greeted me warmly, gave hugs, and it was just a great experience for us on that first Sunday. I'll never forget it. We sat down, we did the service with everybody, and they came to the time of announcements, and something else struck me very unusual, and that is that they were passing the microphone around and talking about all the activities that were going on in this church. And as they passed the microphone around again and again and again, and more reports were given, I looked at Elaine and I said, Elaine, would you pinch me? I think I'm dreaming. So we, at that point, we alternated weeks between going to the Baptist church and to Countryside Community Church. And finally, on one day, we're driving home, Elaine said to me, you want to join Countryside, don't you? Well, I think the answer was obvious. At that point, we began attending Countryside regularly, but it wasn't until February 13th, 2011, that we actually became members after attending several sessions with the Reverend J.P. Duncan to reacquaint us with the United Methodist Church beliefs and polity. So why did it take nearly a year and a half to become members of Countryside Community Church? Well, JP had a different idea. His goal was not to make members, as he said. I'm here to make committed followers. And that was such a departure from where I'd come from. So, accordingly, on that day, Elaine and I joined the church, along with Denise DePhillips and Jim and Elaine Green. And we stood up in front of the congregation after we'd actually joined. And then I recall very vividly, JP gave us an opportunity to say something to the congregation, to make some kind of a statement. So when it came to my turn, it just kind of all came pouring out. I just was so happy to be there, and I expressed that. How wonderful to be among a group of people who are not just hearers of the word, but also doers. How fulfilling it was to be with a true church family. In fact, I think I kind of overstepped my time that day, because as I kept on talking and talking, I think JP got tired of standing up. He finally sat down side and just listened to what I had to say. I am delighted to continue in this faith journey with my Countryside Community Church family. Okay, sure, we've had our share of challenges as we move forward, issues of storm damage, COVID-19, worshiping in the parking lot or virtually, successful outreach in this post-Christendom era. But we are confident that with guidance from the Holy Spirit and from our spiritual leader, Reverend Jim Hollister, we will continue to live out our mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, to develop hearts for God and a spirit-filled community, and to spread God's love and grace throughout the world. As my friend Bill Lindbergh always likes to say, God bless you, and God bless Countryside Community Church. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Gracious God, as the words to the song go, we're many kinds of people, with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages too, from all times and places. I am the church. You are the church. No, the church is not a building. It's an eclectic group of individuals, all called by you for similar faith journeys to a better life, a better world. May God guide and protect us in this journey. Amen.
So this is the God that we serve. God saves us, walks with us, and gives us a story worth telling. So we can go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God and a spirit-filled community, and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. Grace to you and peace from Him who is and was and is to come. And also with you. Amen.